Hi, I'm Tim Barron, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast, where we examine the latest trends in digital marketing. The podcast is a production of Good to Be Social. Today, our founder Guy Alvarez chats with Tim Corcoran about law firm marketing and business development. Tim clearly delineates the difference between the two and stresses that although law firm marketers are strategic partners of the business, the overall strategic marketing leadership comes from the executive committee at the firm. There are lots of great insights and useful takeaways ahead in Guy's conversation with Tim.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. My guest today is Tim Corcoran. Tim has been a consultant for the legal industry for a while now. He is a keynote speaker, consultant, author, and a legal commentator. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tim, you're someone that I've known for a while now. You're very well known in the legal industry. And today we are going to talk about marketing and business development, specifically the science and the art of BD. But before we get into the content, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the legal industry? What do you find unique about the legal industry?
Well, I've been in the legal industry, legal marketplace, and supporting lawyers in their profession for pretty much my entire adult life. I grew up in the corporate side, working for companies that provided services and tools and software to law firms and law departments. So I grew up in a sales and marketing strategy, and ultimately a general manager and then a CEO of large businesses serving this profession. So as a consultant, I've really just turned my business training back towards my clientele and said, you know, here's what I learned as a business person. Here's how you can translate those ideas to run your own business now that we've all acknowledged beyond a shadow of a doubt that practicing law is a profession, but it is also a business. And in today's economic climate, you've got to run it like a business or at least understand how to make business decisions. And so that's what I do.
That's excellent. And it's a very needed source, I have found at least, because as you said, you know, most lawyers or when they start practicing law, they consider it this noble profession, which it is. But more and more as the competition heats up and there are more people out there, it's really, really important to think about it as a business and run your firm effectively as a business. So I think having consultants like you around is really, really helpful. So the target audience of this show is primarily made up of legal marketers. And one of the things that we often hear from our audience is how challenging it is for them to really be thought of as strategic partners on the business rather than just basically helping partners do whatever it is they need to do. So what is your sense? Has this started to shift now? Are you seeing more legal marketers and chief marketing officers be treated more from a strategic perspective? Or do you still think there's a long way to go when it comes to that?
Well, it's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. In my observation, having spent years running a corporate marketing department with as much sophistication as you might imagine a large multinational enterprise should have, by comparison, law firm marketing has been relatively unsophisticated. And that's a two-way street. It's both the marketing professionals were not asked to do a lot, and so therefore the most experienced marketing professionals in the corporate space didn't see the legal vertical as a compelling place to spend their time. And of course, the lawyers really at times don't know the difference between someone who runs an event, someone who's a webmaster, someone who's a database manager for a CRM, and someone who's able to provide strategic marketing guidance. And so they've sort of done the wrong thing by hiring some of the wrong people. But over the years, I've had the luxury and good fortune to watch the profession evolve and emerge. And I have to say, there are some fantastic marketing efforts taking place in law firms today. There's some very strategic and savvy marketers filling the senior roles. And slowly but surely, we're seeing some of the firms and some of the marketers who are less sophisticated. They're either learning their craft in a new way or they're moving off the stage and ceding to the new world of marketing. But that said, we still got a long way to go. To give you an example, I spend time at times assessing marketing on behalf of law firm executive committees. And usually the question is, can you come in? We don't think our marketing is very effective. Can you take a look at our structure of our marketing team and tell us where we can make improvements? And inevitably, there are some things that we can improve upon. But the real challenge, and usually the crux of my report back to management, is you, management, the leadership team, the lawyers running the firm, you don't have a clue what you want, put the wrong people in the wrong jobs, and then you don't hold either the marketers or yourself accountable to sticking to the plan. So we can shuffle the chairs all we want, but in the real place to start is with marketing, strategic marketing leadership, and that comes from the executive committee of the law firm.
And what's the feedback when you say something like that? Do they accept it, or they you know, play you lip service? I mean, what is your sense?
Well, I'm known to be a bit provocative at times, so my job is to speak truth to power. The most senior lawyers in the biggest law firms of the world do not make me tremble in my boots, because what I bring to the table is something they don't, and I'm here to help. So I'll say the things, but there's a little selection bias. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with firms that want to convince me that they're experts in things that they're not an expert in, so I'm not spending a lot of time trying to convince them they're wrong. I just move on. Let someone else worry about them. I work with firms that, you know, they're ready to change. And so generally, while they cringe a little at some of my sort of plain speaking, they get it. They say, yeah, we know. But so tell us what we can do differently. How can we improve? And many take the advice and do something with it. Of course, there are still some who say, well, thank you for your feedback, but we're lawyers, we're smart, we're going to run the business how we want. And I tell them flat out, but that's fine. That's a business decision you should make. My job is to inform your decisions. If you want to run a poor, ineffective marketing campaign and have a poor structure, that's good for you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's your choice. But you can't also pretend that you're investing properly and getting the right return of your investment if you're not listening to outside advice on how to do it better.
From your perspective, is law firm marketing effective? And if so, which part? And how do we know if it's effective?
Yeah, well, that's almost like saying, when you go to the grocery store, is their food good? Well, it depends. It depends on what you like, depends on what you want to buy, depends on which brand you get, depends on how hungry you are, how many people you're feeding, and so on. So really, I see some fantastic law firm marketing efforts put forth. I also see some efforts that are fantastic, but they have no meaningful impact on the firm's fortunes. And then I see a lot of ineffective marketing. And some of it is squarely in the lap of the marketers who pursue ineffective tactics. And a lot of it, of course, is up to the partners, the people who own the firm, and asking for really dumb ideas. As I say to the marketers when I spend time with them, my job is to help them be more efficient with their time and energy and resources, because they will never, ever, ever be able to get in front of the volume of dumb ideas the partners present to them. So we have to figure out a way to parse between what's a good idea, what's a poor idea, and then how do we measure and control our efforts so that we're pursuing those tactics which will have a good return.
How do firms measure today? Because in my experience, not a lot of firms are measuring, and those that are measuring, they're not really taking whatever there is they're measuring and turning it into meaningful insights and developing a strategy around that. Has that also been your experience?
It is my experience. There are some efforts underway to measure the ROI of individual tactics, and I'm seeing increasing efforts to look at PR or various content marketing or digital marketing strategies, and I think that's good. Particularly with digital marketing, we have sort of built into these campaigns the ability to measure and infuse metrics into the process. We know how many people have looked at pages. We know how many people have opened and clicked through and so on. So that's helpful. It's better than the old days where we just tried to count, you know, how many people were in our seats at the events we ran. But it's still not effective. And my entire premise about turning marketing from an art into more of a science is we have to start farther upstream. Marketing ROI is a relative measure. So just because I put a dollar in of marketing expenditure and I get $2 out, well, that's a positive ROI. In fact, it might even be a healthy percentage ROI. But if that same dollar put somewhere else in the firm could generate $25 of return, then that's where we need to spend the time. So the ROI is really a function of what are we trying to accomplish as an organization? Have we made our decisions and prioritized where our time and energy is going to be? Have we put our efforts into those tactics and those efforts that will produce results in the areas we've targeted? And are we improving those constantly? If we're spending time putting a dollar in and getting a dollar 10 out, or putting a dollar in and getting a dollar 80 out, when we're starving those opportunities where if we put in a dollar, we'll get $25 out, then despite the fact that there's positive ROI, it's still an ineffective approach. So ROI and metrics management really starts with strategic planning. You know, what are we trying to accomplish? And I'll say this, you know, another provocative statement. There is no such thing as a law firm, which is a multi-line, multi-product business that should have the equal proportion of marketing and business development spend across all of its product lines. Some things you fund and invest in, and some things you just don't deserve the same proportion of the resources, and we've got to make those choices.
I completely agree with that. That is something that I think more firms should really understand and, you know, really figuring out what do you want to market and what's the opportunity based upon that. I think that's very, very smart thing to say. One of the things I've been noticing lately, and I guess it's not so lately, but more and more firms, some of them have a chief marketing officer, some of them have a director of marketing and business development, some of them have a director of business development, some of them have a chief marketing officer, a chief client officer, a chief communications officer. So they're trying to figure out, and every firm is somewhat different, but from your perspective, what's the true difference between marketing and business development, and how should they work together?
Yeah, I don't know that my view on this is universal, but I have a very crystal clear view of the difference. For me, marketing is about creating awareness and visibility. Using, you know, marketing terminology, the job of marketing is to create leads, create opportunities, right? It's mm-hmm. to try to create trials. Someone who says, I have a need, we're in front of them now. Somehow we reach their radar and they say, oh, it looks like you might be a provider that can address that need. So for some law firms who have an opportunity to grow their brand strength or their visibility in areas where they're not currently well known, you know, maybe an investment in marketing is a huge idea because you're not even getting at bats. So what you need first and foremost is visibility, access to the people who might have a need for what you do. Business development, by contrast, is the effort to turn those opportunities into paid engagements. So marketing creates the awareness and visibility and creates opportunities. Business development is turning the opportunities into revenue. And I believe that marketing can and should be delegated to professional marketers, and the lawyer should stay out of it. You know, of course, mm-hmm. once the strategy. Business development is the purview of the lawyers. Now, of course, business development professionals can support them, but we have a bit of a euphemism here. Business development in law firms is really sales support, whereas business development is sales. So in those law firms that have people selling on behalf of the law firm, so typically JDs who are not practicing law, but they're in a sales role, good for them. We should have more of that. But since we don't, the role of most business development professionals is to support the lawyers to ensure they have the tools, processes, and information necessary to turn those opportunities into paid engagement. So that to me is business development, and that's the distinction.
And if you talk to any corporation or any regular business out there, that is the way to differentiate, right, between marketing and sales in that sense. I think with what you said earlier, law firms starting to think more of themselves as businesses, this makes perfect sense. You mentioned that you think lawyers should be focused on business development, but traditionally, they don't like to do it, or some do, some don't. Some are too busy practicing law. How do we get lawyers to do more business development? What do you think they need to do? How do we change their priorities to start to do more business development?
So I think saying the lawyer should do more business development is as helpful as the doctor saying you should get healthier. Well, we agree, but what does it look like? I think it's a lot easier to provide to people a very specific roadmap of things they should be pursuing on a day-to-day basis, and the aggregate of those activities, if pursued properly, will be better business development. I think expecting lawyers to become experts at all of what it means to generate opportunities or turn those opportunities into sales, I think is a lot to ask of them. So I view it differently. I say, let's start at the top. Let's take a look at the building blocks of each of our law firms and each of our practice groups within those law firms. So where's our revenue and profit coming from? Which of our practice groups? And of those practice groups, what products or what offerings do we have? And those are often called matter types. So of these matter types, where do we get the greatest contribution margin? Where's our profit and revenue coming from? We cannot allocate all of our time to everything, so where should we focus? A standard for practice group leaders, who I believe should be making these battlefield calls about, of the things we could be doing and of the things the lawyers like to do, what generates the revenue, what gives us competitive differentiation, where do we have relationships or opportunities to make a difference or get in front of the right people, let's focus our time and energy there. Now, it's possible that we'll have some blue sky opportunity to do legal work in an area that no one's ever thought of, but that's less about business development and that's more about hoping. So I think business development starts with really understanding what drives our business today, and let's do more of that. And if we do that well, we can say that, you know, it's away from saying generally do more business development to saying, well, we did 12 of these matters last year. To hit our goals, we need 13 or we need 16. And of this other group over here, well, they did 100 matters. Well, they need 200 to hit our goals. And we start to break that down. And once we understand what the target is, we can now work backwards. So if we know what our conversion rate is of opportunities to sales, well, if I need 100 more wins, then how many more opportunities do I need to cycle through my pipeline next year to get those 100 wins? Well, maybe we have a 50% hit ratio. Great, then I need 200 opportunities. So I now know that my job of business development is to close 100 more deals, and the job of marketing is to create 200 new opportunities so I can work through that pipeline. And last thing I'll say about all this is some lawyers will be good at the initial meeting, the initial conversation. You know, thank you for coming to our event. I'd like to follow up, you know, see if there's anything you'd want to talk about. Others will say, that's horrifying. I can't work a room. I'm not making a cold call. But they might be expert at asking some insightful questions to understand the client's needs. And then down the line, there might be someone else who's fantastic at client management and can help talk about what team we'd pull together. And maybe someone else would say, well, here's how we would structure a fee to do this work for you. So if done well, business development caters to the best practices of the people on the team. So like any sports team, not everyone's a high scorer, not everyone's a top rebounder, not everyone's the running back. Everyone has a role. So if done well, we're not saying do everything. We're saying you do more of working the room, and you do more of the insightful consultative selling, and you do more of the analysis of how we pull together a team, and so on. And so I think done well, the science of business development allows us to take a look at how we do things, what we're trying to accomplish, work backwards from that math and say, who's the expert in the various stops along the way to get us the result we want?
To what extent do you think organizational structure of law firms, you know, a partnership versus a corporation, present a challenge to some of the things that you're talking about? And how have you dealt with it when you're talking to law firm leaders?
I think it's a constant challenge because law firms aren't necessarily built for maximum revenue or maximum profit. They're built to maximize partner satisfaction. So if we say that you should allocate resources proportionally to where we're going to get the greatest return, many law firm leaders will buy into that concept, but then they will tremble at the thought of going down the hall to a partner, a fellow owner, and saying, I'm sorry, you're not going to get an equal share of the marketing resources of this firm, or you're not going to get the full-time efforts of our PR expert because maybe you're never going to be known, or conversely, everybody already knows you. It's in fact an ineffective use of our PR time to continue to give you bylines when there's nothing more we can do to promote your visibility. We should actually be promoting other people below you or adjacent to you to increase their footprint and so on. So the challenge in most law firms is the partners say, yeah, that's all well and good, but I'm going to run my business the way I see fit. If I were running a law firm today, and I wrote an article about a few years ago about how I would do things if I were running a law firm, one of the first things I'd do is I would productize. You know, let's focus on these offerings. There's no such thing as, well, you know what, I'm a partner, I'm going to choose to use these rates and focus on these clients and do my work this way in my own little silo. You want to do that completely independently? Go start your own firm. Otherwise, you're using the resources of this firm. We all have to collectively recognize that we could all be really, really satisfied up until the day we go out of business. So let's have a little bit of a prioritization of our activities. Let's focus on the things that generate work for us. And if we do that well, the pie grows, and then we can indulge in some of these areas where we don't generate the greatest amount of return. Nothing wrong with that. We don't have to focus on only the highest return work, but we should make conscious decisions about where we're spending our time and energy.
So speaking of indulging, I was talking to a chief marketing officer a couple of weeks ago, and he was mentioning to me that they were in the process, this firm, and it's an AMLA 50 firm, they were in the process of putting together their marketing budget. And the process basically goes as each practice area leader or partner puts together his marketing activities for the rest of the year in order to get approval from the leadership team. And I asked him, what kind of things are in this plan? And he said about 90% of it is entertainment, taking people out, going to Yankee games, going, taking people to, you know, do whatever. And I know you talk about a concept of random acts of lunch. You know, how do we get lawyers to really invest in true marketing and business development efforts and not focus so much on taking people out to lunch?
Again, I'll reiterate, it's their business. If they want to waste their money, that's their choice. But I think many of them waste their money because they don't know the difference. So I think it's a two-way street here. I think we in the marketing class, we have the opportunity to create structure and data and metrics and a framework to help understand what is effective and what's not effective. But it's also not binary. It's what's more effective than the alternatives. So if a lawyer says, well, I'm comfortable doing this, but I'm not comfortable doing that, well, let's find a way for them to do what they're comfortable doing and help them improve their effectiveness there. Asking them to step outside their role, you know, go work a room, shake hands, kiss baby when you're afraid to leave your office. Well, you know, I'm not going to force you to do that. I'm going to try to find something that's comfortable for you. That way, I'm not forcing you to do something you're not good at, but we also have found a way to maybe improve your effectiveness. But that said, the partners have to do their share as well. It's a two-way street. They've got to say, you know what? We recognize that we've got some inefficient spending here, so we're going to allow our management to help us prioritize, and we're going to hold ourselves accountable to keeping to that. And those who aren't going to be held accountable, you know what? It's easy. We're just going to allow you to continue to do whatever business development and marketing activities you want, but it comes out of your pocket. You're a partner. You're an owner. You're allowed to spend the firm's money, so it comes out of your profit share. That's how you can do that. But if we're funding it from the firm, you've got to be held accountable to the plans we put forth that prioritizes what gives us the greatest impact for our business.
I think one of the things that's happening today, as I speak to more and more CMOs and directors of marketing at firms, is I think marketing for a law firm is getting more complicated. You mentioned digital marketing and all of these new things that you can track and measure. And a lot of times, you know, your traditional marketing team just doesn't have the skill set in-house to really handle all that. So if you were going to give advice to a CMO or to a director of marketing, how could they justify the additional headcount to their leadership team? What would you advise them to do in order to be able to do that?
We're also back to the efficient deployment of resources. We will never be able to have enough headcount in the marketing department if we allow the volume of dumb ideas to continue. So the way to increase the capacity of most marketing departments is not by adding headcount, it's to eliminate the things that don't have any impact. You know, triage the work we do, triage the practice groups we work for, triage even the partners within those practice groups. They're not good people or bad people, that's not what we're saying. We're saying at various points, there are some things that are going to be the growth engine of our business and they deserve the lion's share of our attention during that time period. Others may be a growth engine tomorrow and we shouldn't starve them, but let's not keep throwing resources just at those people who are politically powerful or those traditional practice areas if they have no meaningful impact and don't provide lead generation for others and so on. So that's how we free up capacity. But it is getting more complicated. And I think it's incumbent upon marketers to say there's two halves of marketing. There's a left brain and a right brain. We've got a lot of law firm marketers who come from the creative side. And some of the creative work I see is just brilliant. It is world class, and I would hold it up against any corporate marketing campaign. That said, we cannot say we don't do math. It's an incumbent upon a professional marketer to say we have to understand analytics. We have to embrace metrics. Now, I'm not expecting every individual marketer to go take a stats class, but what I am saying is the marketing professionals have to have a resource they can rely on. Some cases, it's relying on a partner in the finance department. But a lot of practice groups now have an MBA who's helping out practice group leader or helping to manage the business of the practice group. And of course, we have a lot of business development folks that have MBAs themselves. So the resources and capabilities are often there. They're just not deployed effectively. But to take it to the next level, we've got to have a combination of both the right and left brain activities in marketing. And I think we've got the potential and we've got a lot of the right people. We just have to deploy them properly and have the lawyers let them get out of their own way.
I couldn't agree more. All right, Tim, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today. I thought the conversation and the points you raised were fantastic. If there's anything else that you wanted our audience to know, anything that you would like to add?
Well, I will say this. Part of my job is to speak truth to power. So a lot of times the marketers I work with know exactly what I'm talking about, but they need someone from the outside to say those things. Other times the marketers and the partners themselves say, we don't know what we're doing. Give us some help. So my job is to help and inform decisions. So if I can be of any assistance to any of your listeners to help shape the conversation and move the firm in a different direction, I'm always delighted to do so. People can find me at bringintim.com. I'm always pleased to chat with you, and I think the work you're doing and the work collectively we're all doing to improve the marketing profession is only going to lead to good things for both the legal marketers and the lawyers we work with.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And we will have Tim's contact information on the show notes. Again, if you want to subscribe to our podcast or view the latest episode, please go to goodtobesocial.com. And Tim, thanks again for your time, and look forward to seeing you in New Orleans.
If you like this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. And we'd love it if you also left a review for us on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Stitcher and SoundCloud and Google Play, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you struggle with digital marketing and how to make it work for you and for your firm? If so, please go to lawfirmmarketinghelp.com and sign up for a free digital audit. The audit will provide you with all of the information you need to build a blueprint for your digital marketing strategy to produce the results you want. You'll find the show notes for this episode, along with all of the Legal Marketing 2.0 episodes, at goodtobesocial.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time.